Welcome back. Welcome to 2024. I'm Michael Colligan. This is my co-host, Greg Eric. Everyone's telling us we should say your names. We just thought you all knew us by now, but there you go. Michael and Greg are back here in 2024, and we're pleased to be joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Al Lucinski, Inside Lighting, inside.lighting. Al is an experienced executive with over 25 years' experience in lighting. He is the principal of inside.lighting, an online media company that provides valuable insights and information for lighting industry professionals. Throughout his career, Al has held leadership positions with major lighting companies in roles that have encompassed full P&L responsibility, as well as sales, marketing, and brand management. Al also serves as a business advisor and consultant to select lighting and electrical industry clients. But before we get to the man, the myth, the legend, Greg Eric, we got to keep it easy for a second here. We got to go down to the big easy at KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneTech.com.
And full disclosure, I don't have my glasses. I didn't know they were from Al. I should have saved them. I got a piece of paper, but some kid has them somewhere playing with them. So thanks, Al, for that. One of my employees. Keystone, back to them. CCT tubes. Talk about reducing stock. A type B and then a type AB. Color selectable, 3K, 35K, 4K, 5K, 65K, everything you need, single and double-ended. You really just need the one bulb, one type B, one type AB, and you got it all covered with Keystone.
You know what? I love the way the lighting industry is going right now. All the innovation that people are coming up with where we're solving problems. I love what we're doing right now. I'm so excited about the products that are coming out. So go to KeystoneTech.com. Keep it easy with the big easy, light made easy. And of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. I've said it before. Do you have a warehouse? Do you sell light bulbs over a counter? Do you take orders on the phone? Do you have a website? If you got light bulbs in the warehouse and you sell them to people, this is your association. This is your critical shield. Nailed. NAILD.org. Al Lucinski, welcome to the show.
Michael, Greg, happy new year. This is like a tradition like no other. I love traditions. I kind of screwed this one up a little bit, which I'm sure we'll get into, but I'm so psyched to be back with you guys. Thank you. Thank you, Nailed. Happy new year to you both.
Thank you.
All right. So yeah, as we always do on Get a Grip, we don't really have a plan, but we figure it out as we go. So here's what I've got for a plan. I do have three that I want to go back on, because we've done this at least since 2021, maybe before, but that I could find. So three predictions I'm gonna go back to, and we're going to talk about. So first, we're going to start in 2021 with this prediction, all right? The general public will become aware of the real and disastrous environmental and human health consequences of light pollution, made magnitudes worse by the recent and ongoing deployment and conversion of outdoor lighting infrastructure to LED, which is largely poorly designed and mostly 4,000 Kelvin. The irony will not be lost when the public realizes that the vast majority of this was subsidized by their electricity bills and done in the name of environmentalism. You guys remember who said that? Oh, that guy.
Someone who has a real passion for responsible outdoor lighting. I'm gonna guess Michael.
Yeah, I think I was right, man. We've seen a huge surge in news. Now, I don't know if it's distilled down to the public yet, boys, but in the lighting industry, we track all the news in the world, Al, as you know, and on lighting in the English language. And I talked to I can't remember the fellow's name, Ray Maloney, about doing a dark sky news brief, and we looked at the news and there's not enough news. Well, now Scotty Dubs Wachter puts out the darkness news update every single 2 weeks of the year, because there's so much news on the issue now. And so I think I was right. Sort of.
3 years.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. I track a lot of news, and I think light pollution is becoming certainly more. And I look at probably literally over 100 headlines a day, because I'm searching for stories and angles for being a news publication myself. And like every fall, I see the bird migration story about light pollution killing birds. And it's happening, and it's all anecdotal. I'm not keeping statistics on it, but I agree. Over the last 3 years, there's been a noticeable, no, I won't say like significant or overwhelming, but definitely a noticeable increase in public awareness. These things are getting into town hall council meetings, and that's where this will happen. It's on the local level, and it's starting, but I think we're still way tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, and I think your prediction was pretty early on, but it's coming true. So nice work on that, Mike. All right, here's another one. In 2022, you can remember back to then. We will see collaboration in the land industry like never before. Major companies, associations, and accreditation agencies will work together to get the lighting industry under control again. And new leadership may emerge as a result.
That's Craig Eric with wishing something will happen.
With wishing.
Yeah, that was a wish.
What happened?
That wasn't a prediction. What happened? Nothing.
Well, didn't happen, did it? Al?
You know, I'm starting to think, I do think that there's some glimpses of that with, you know, you said some very general comments. You weren't mentioning organizations by name, but as I'm trying to assess, you know, whether things like this have happened or not, I do feel like I've observed some better collaboration or maybe increased collaboration, because it was never, you know, bad collaboration, but it was, I think there's been more of it between the IES and the IALD. Even both of those organizations showed up at the same event where you folks had your annual convention at the ArcLight Summit, which is not an event that's put on by any nonprofit lighting organization. It's put on by a commercial entity. But the fact that they were there, and maybe because they're invested with Light Fair and they might be exploring doing other things, possibly, I'm guessing, in even years when it doesn't conflict with Light Fair. I feel like there could be some of that stuff percolating, but I don't know if we can pin a list of 10 things that happened along those lines, but maybe there's glimpses of it. So I'm not going to give you a failing mark, Greg. I think you're onto something.
Mike, you give me a C? Or, no, Mike gives me an F. Al gives me a C.
I think that's Greg's wish. He wants to get the thing under control.
I would agree to some degree, but I think there is some of it. You know, there's glimpses, as Al mentioned. There's also, like, NCQLP is now run by IES. That's to me, was
point.
A big move.
That's a big move. Like, yeah, I agreed that.
Two separate organizations. Why? Get it together.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, so I want more of it. Yeah, you're right. So I'm wishing. 2 years ago. I'll keep wishing this year. One more. From 2023 now, okay? Service-related businesses like architectural lighting design firms and electrical contractors will continue to face hiring challenges due to an inadequate supply of skilled workers. In 2023, I expect demand to ease on the architectural design side, but commercial lighting projects will be hindered with additional delays and longer punch lists due to a continued shortage of highly qualified electrical contractor professionals. Who's that?
That was me.
Crystal ball guy over there.
Yeah, I think you're right about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are closer to it than I do. So, like, are you seeing, like, I know you folks do a lot of replacement work, but on new construction, are you seeing the continued delays? And sometimes it's at the contractor level where they can't schedule the work and get those things done?
Where I see it more than anywhere else, Greg, is with the cost per hour has gone way up. You know, even we have a lot of foreign-trained electricians in Toronto, and they come over here and they have their foreign qualifications crossed over, and there's a period of time. Even they are way up to where the a Canadian trained electrician would have been before the pandemic, and now that's the starting place now, Greg. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, so you have your own contracting company. I sub out everything, and it has been harder for sure. We had a lot of projects, luckily, last year and continuing into this year, so a lot of demand for the people, but it has been harder to find. And then when you find it, it's costing more. So you're right on with that, Al, for sure.
Thank you. If I can just add one more wrinkle, because the first part of that prediction said that design activity will slow, and the December 2023 numbers haven't been published yet. That'll probably be the third week of January. But for the last seven months that the Architectural Billings Index was published, slow demand, slower billings among the architectural designers, which trickles down to fewer projects.
Mm.
And I think, you know, the angle Mike and I take on this a lot is existing building, because we're always retrofitting, you know, and so from our side, it's a little different. But yeah, I would agree with that. So Al gets an A. Good job, Al. I got the worst grade. Thanks, guys. let's go on to 2024. Before we do, why aren't we doing 11.5 predictions this year, Al?
You know, Greg, I'm going to take full responsibility for this. I hope the inside lighting audience didn't notice, but I had to take some time off. I was working halftime, less than halftime in late November, early December. This article might not look like much to those who read it every year, the predictions article, but it's a lot of wrangling. It's rather than herding cats, we're herding executives and statements. And so it got to the point where I didn't project manage it well. it got to the point where I was asking like favors of these very highly compensated, very busy executives to provide me with you know, a short turnaround. So I decided rather than like pull a favor bank, you know, gangster move and ask them to do it on a short timeline, I said, you know what, I'm not going to push anyone to do it because of my mistake, my late start. So I appreciate the adaptation that we're making here, where instead of these like wise industry sages making predictions and publishing them on the pages of Inside Lighting, you said for me to come to the table with a few predictions, and I hope you guys do as well, because my predictions are mediocre. I imagine they're good. There could be some good wisdom out of you guys. So together, we're going to kind of piece together, I think, some predictions among the three of us that hopefully will resonate with some people, or maybe we'll get some hate mail. But either way, let's have at it. And I'm looking forward to it.
My first prediction is that Inside.Lighting will fail because they failed to release the 11.5 predictions.
You know, one of the things we pride ourselves on is having consistency. Every month we're publishing Lighting People on the Move, and we have other regular features. We failed on this, but you know what? This alone does not define us. We publish hundreds of articles a year, so we're asking for the forgiveness of the lighting industry. We'll be back and better than ever in 2024 with our predictions for 2025. And for now, let's plod through this sure. this list of stuff that we have in front of us and see what sticks.
Who's going first?
Al.
Greg. Oh, okay, Al, you're out.
All right, so I'll go first, and I recently wrote an article that poked fun that we thought in the early 1980s, the Time Magazine Person of the Year was not a person, it was the computer. So I was predicting that AI for 2023, that AI would be the person of the year or the thing of the year. It wasn't. It was Taylor Swift. Great choice, by the way. But it wasn't AI. But AI has permeated so much of our lives from just making simple tasks easier to like medical breakthroughs. And I think as far as my prediction, I'm not sure if we're going to see earth-rattling changes in the lighting industry due to AI. And let me be specific about my prediction. It's generative AI, because I think that term is very vague sometimes. So the generative AI, where it's actually learning and creating, I think we're going to see teams of people working on things this year. In the past, I think we've seen people dabbling, or there's one or two people in a group that says, let me run this through AI and see. But now I think there's going to be dedicated teams. As Boston Consulting Group recently stated, 5 years from now, we're going to see major breakthroughs that are starting now with companies dedicated to investing in exploring R&D and AI. And I think we're going to see things in the future, maybe not 2024, but in the future, that are starting now in 2024, that will help jobs be designed better and go faster, go smoother, better accuracy. Imagine dumping like an electrical drawing from AutoCAD into AI and having it spit out some just basic starting points for a classroom, for a bathroom, for a hallway, and then the designer can tweak it from there based on the last three middle schools they designed. They can pull in pieces of the old one. One of the other contributors to that article, and then I'll end with this, it was Lightstanza. It's a design software, and they were talking about possibly pulling in the IES lighting library. So if someone's designing a bathroom or an MRI room, they could pull in the IES recommended practice for that particular space in real time in the design tool and ask for guidance. So I think tip of the iceberg as far as generative AI, warehouses, manufacturing, sourcing people are going to use it. It's going to really make a big difference in our industry years from now, but it starts now in 2024 with people taking those steps to invest in it.
What do you think of that, Greg?
I would totally agree on that. The AI, I don't do much with it right now, and I don't know at what point I will. You know, I know, Mike, you've done a little bit of things with it, but it totally makes sense that we're at the tip of it, though, right? Is it actually going to affect my day-to-day? I don't think it will in 2024, but beyond, yeah, I think there's a good chance of it. And if it can make us all more efficient, I'm all the more for it. Let's do it.
So we used to, I'll give you an example of how AI is impacted and perhaps, you know, caused job losses or whatever in that. So I do a lot of writing. Lot. Probably 50% of my job is writing. And, you know, we used to have a professional editor that we would send our documents to, and it would go back and forth, and we would collaborate, and it would take weeks. One report that we wrote took me about a month to write it. With ChatGPT, I would write that report probably in 2 days, simply because I can in real time ask ChatGPT to look at the tense of how I'm writing, the sentence structure, and that. But it you know, you want to be careful that with that, you know, from that perspective, that you don't, I use it as an executive assistant. Is it going to become me? I don't know, maybe. I mean, my biggest fear with AI, Al, is that instead of, I don't know if you remember, but during the pandemic, remember all the leaders would say, it's not me, the chief medical officer of health told me to do it. I have to listen to them. My only fear is that moving forward, it's going to be the computer told me to do it. And
yeah,
we remove human leadership from the equation. I don't like that idea.
I see that concern, and I wholly agree. And I think the advances even that we saw last year in 2023 with AI is that, you know, the Microsoft Bing version was actually giving credit to where it was sourcing certain information. And I think that's going to become a big part of it. And I think what you described, Michael, is great. Sometimes people like frame AI using AI is there's something unethical about it, but it's not. I think AI can be used unethically, but the way you described, you're using it as kind of like a spell checker editor. As long as the content is yours originally, then go for it. It helps you do your job more accurately, and you have a better product. It's like using a spreadsheet or a calculator isn't cheating unless you're on a test where you're not allowed to use those things, right? So it's efficient, it's good, but it needs to be used ethically. And that was one of the things that came through in our article, is that companies are making sure that they're sourcing information ethically and that they're also protecting privacy of the users and other people too.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, ChatGPT plagiarizes a lot. I have never picked it once. I haven't been able to pick it out, but there's been a couple times when I've asked it something and I'm like, that looks like someone else's writing, actually. It looks like it took something from somewhere else and gave it to me and said, yeah, you can write it this way. And I was like, I didn't like that. I was testing it out. I'm like, write it in Robert Greene style, right? You know, like 48 Laws of Power. I was playing with it a little bit and I read it and I'm like, this actually could be plagiarism. So I would warn people to make sure that these are your ideas and that you're still, you know, being creative. This idea that AI can replace the human creativity, I think that's a fool's errand. So Greg, we've talked enough about AI though.
Well, I'm just one last question on it, Al.
No.
With what you do, are you going to be using AI for your journalism skill, articles and things?
Yeah, we already have. If you see any tables on Inside Lighting that have rounded corners on them, or that sort alphabetically or numerically for a table that's on our website, AI helped me write the JavaScript that allows me to do that. And then what Michael just described, I do that all the time. So I'll go back to the AI article. I sourced information from 6 different people. I researched some other content. And attributed it in my article. So if you think about what is a research paper, in my case, my research paper was this 1300 word article on AI. And if I make a list of 37 facts and I wordsmith it in a draft form, and then I what I've learned is I don't dump 1300 words into AI. I do it section by section, and then it can help wordsmith like the paragraph. I've even created my own GPTs where one of them is called Text Refiner. Because the directions are, don't change a bunch of words, just edit this for grammar, spelling, and cohesiveness. Cohesiveness is the key word. So it doesn't change the words. It just makes sure like that, like tense shift and other things, or there's redundancies. So yeah, it helps me. I'm not a trained journalist, but it helps me there without it creating its own content. Cause I think, not only to Michael's point, does it take information possibly from other sources and not attribute it? But I think it has like a 3-5% hallucination rate where it just makes stuff up. Mm. And I don't want that on my pages. I want to be able to control all the information and just have it help me wordsmith it. So cool.
Good to hear.
Cheers.
All right. Oh, I missed my glass. Dang it, Mike. Okay, I'll go. How about? Yeah. Is it my turn?
Sure.
All right. Mike's going to have an opinion or two on this. So relax. Let me get it out before you go wild. Okay.
Okay.
2024, distributors are going to embrace lighting controls. Now, hold on. All right. So in the last week, I'm going to give you 3 different examples. I'm a lighting distributor, so I kind of know the mindset of a lighting distributor. Mike is too. We don't always think the same, so he'll give us his opinion. But in the last week, I went to an office building that had LED already, and they came in and said, you know, these lights stay on all the time. It'd be really nice to have it on 9 to 5 and then on a sensor after that. Okay, and so you look at how you can go about doing that. It's already LED, and you'd have to run low voltage to everything, or you can put individualized lighting controls on these fixtures. Very easy to do. Cost something, but not anything too significant. And when I ran the numbers on it, it was a 5-year payback. That's doable. Okay, so that's something that you looked at. That was an office application. Now we have a vacant warehouse that we did several hundred high bays at, LED high bays. And they said, we don't know who's going to be in here, but we want to put an occupancy sensor on these fixtures for whatever the future tenant's going to be. I said, fine, we'll put one on every fixture. And then what happened, factory preset, was they're on for 1 minute, and then they go down to 50% for 30 seconds, and they go off, which is a very bad way to set it up, in my opinion. And so it's all flashing in and out, and they're trying to walk tenants through, and now they're like, the lights are dark over here, they're light over here, and it's like a disco show. Not good. Shit, I got to get a lift and get an electrician to go back to these fixtures, or I can bring my $40 remote control that can do it all from the ground and reset everything to 20 minutes or whatever number they want with a remote, not going up. And then a school. Teachers want to dim the lights. You know, they want to dim what they have, and they want to go LED. Very easy to do with lighting controls. And I know there's different ways to do it, but in this case, it was hard to run 0 to 10 back from every light to the switch. So you just put an individualized control on it. There's extra rebate for it. There's extra savings. There's extra flexibility. And you don't have to use it, too. You can always disable it. I'm going to give you a fourth example. I went into a site that we did high bays at recently with individualized controls, and I said, I just want the lights on in the dock area all the time. Okay, we'll disable that. Disable it from an app on your phone, blah, blah, blah. Quick. All six fixtures now are on 24/7. You want to change it? I can change it on my phone anytime, or you can too. So there's my reasoning for it. This is all within the last week. 2024 is in a couple weeks, so fine. I'm going to embrace it. What do you say, Mike?
I'm going to go over to Al first. I want to know if it comes from the journalist side on this one.
Well, I guess my first inclination, going back to the original prediction, which was that distributors will start to embrace lighting controls. So the premise of that question implies that they're not fully embracing lighting controls. And frankly, that surprises me a smidge, because I feel that I started my career in lighting controls back in the analog lighting controls days. And so maybe I'm wired a little differently than the average person about having that front of mind. But I feel like that's been a part of distributors for decades, but it's really accelerated in the last 10 years. But the fact that with Greg not only running his own distribution, but also being as involved as he is with Nailed, it tells me that there's a need to further address that. And I think when we look at profit margins of light bulbs, they're smaller than profit margins of fixtures typically. And then the controls is the larger profit margin for lights. So it's an opportunity, in my opinion. But I would say that I would agree with it, because I think that there needs to be further embracement, because the distributors who are not embracing lighting controls, they'll be on the sidelines. And the barrier to entry of lighting controls today is seemingly much simpler than it used to be because of the things Greg mentioned. The commissioning can be easier. It doesn't require home running wires to some back closet and cutting through drywall and everything to do that. Everything could be wired with Bluetooth mesh. You can walk into a room and it maybe doesn't self-commission, but it kind of walks you through some easy steps to do it. So I think as the world creates apps and everything else to make our lives easier, to where consumers have more control, I think that the distributors can do some of that programming, or a contractor who never used to get deep into that can start doing that with more ease.
So I've been lighting controls for 20 years. I was saying to Greg earlier before he shut me down was that I've never met in my entire career, talking to thousands of property managers and commercial facility managers and all that sort of stuff, I have never met, Greg, one person who ever said to me, you know what I really want? I want to be able to control my lights from my phone. I've never had that. That's never happened. Uh-huh. And, you know, I think that, yeah, while it's great, you know, you just got there, maybe you commissioned it, 2 months later, they want to make a change. Everything's fresh. Everything's great. Everybody has that app. It works with the Android Marshmallow version that you have on your phone today. It works with your Apple iPhone 21. Guess what? I got a house full of gear, 2005 state-of-the-art, buddy. None of it works. It's an amazing amplifier, and it's supposed to work with an Apple iPod, or 2006. It works with an old iPod with the playlists and all this sort of crap. It doesn't work anymore. right? And so what I see the major problem with lighting digital lighting controls is the sunsetting of software, the constant paying for software. At some point, you can introduce, well, if we're going to keep running this software, you have to pay us $1,000 a year for access to it. And these types of things are going to start to creep into the industry. And I'm okay with that if people make money. I would just say that if you can't do lighting controls in an analog sense with relays and line voltage and low voltage, you have no business doing digital controls, because that's where you learn the commissioning. That's where you learn how a control actually looks at the space with passive infrared or ultrasonic technology, how it actually measures and turns lights off and on, because there's nothing worse, Greg, than a fussy lighting control system. And all I've seen from digital lighting control systems is fussiness, sunsetting, and customer dissatisfaction. And when I do an analog lighting control system, it just works like Star Trek. And so I would say that if you haven't embraced controls already, you need to, because lighting controls are a major sale for everyone. But you should know what you're doing. And if you're going to do digital, go for it. Go whole hog. Get in there. Make sure you understand the system 100% and make sure you know how to recommission it and check in with your customer every year to make sure that that system is still working for them. That would be my advice.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. I should have said embrace digital lighting controls, because mm-hmm. I've always done the analog too. So that's a big difference there. Yes.
But I agree with you. It is the only advantage of digital over analog is what you mentioned, the ability to commission it from the ground. Other than that, digital lighting controls do not save any more energy whatsoever.
We don't have time for me to do a full rebuttal. There are a lot more advantages than that. For instance, zoning lights used to be a hardwired thing. Now zoning lights, you can just assign lights, you know, without specific circuits being attached. But there's a lot of long list, but I love hearing your feedback. And
I've never heard of anyone doing that, Al.
What do you mean?
I've never seen in my entire career, I've seen lots of digital lighting controls out there. I have never seen a customer pull out an app 3 years later and then recommission their office lighting controls. Never seen.
Oh, I'm not saying recommissioning. I'm just saying zoning your lights. Right. Like if you have like a large cafeteria, you know, and you have a bunch of flat panels in the ceiling, and it's four circuits of flat panel, or whatever. Like you can put them all in one zone without them being all in the same circuit. Like there's ways to do things that give you just such design flexibility. But you're right. I mean, there's the phone thing. It's nice from a convenience standpoint, but it's not going to be a way for someone to operate their lights on a daily basis. People like wall switches, or if you're a smart home person, smart home controls with your voice and everything else.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Is my
Mike,
turn?
How about you? Yeah, you go.
Oh, man. You know, the key predictions. This is a tough one because you stole the lighting controls one for me. I was going to say that there's going to be a third edition of the lighting controls boom bust cycle. So we saw.
So you're saying the opposite of me.
Yeah. So the first iteration of the lighting controls boom bust cycle was probably 1999 to 2005. When they, for me anyway, I don't know if that's actually when it happened, Al, maybe you can comment on this after, but we saw like this lighting controls, look at all these crazy, like, dual technology, microphonic and ultrasonic, or microphonic and passive infrared and ultrasonic, and you had all these controls come out, and everyone was all excited, and not that much happened, right? Most applications are still lighting control free. And then in 2000, you know, 9, 8, 7, something like that, everything was going to be connected with Cat 5 cable. Remember that? Fixtures had the Cat 5 cable on it, all this kind of stuff. Actually, this is the fourth iteration. Then we had PoE. Remember PoE? Nope. PoE was going to take over. I remember everybody was going to go deep control with connection, and the fixtures were going to be powered off the Ethernet, and everybody was going to have this particle level control of the lights. Remember that? That was surging in 2018. So that's the fourth one, the third one. And the fourth one, I think, is really the boom bust cycle. And sorry, guys out there, but hey, who cares what I think? What do I know? I think we're going to enter the fourth boom bust cycle of lighting controls. And we're going to find out that people don't really care that much about Bluetooth technology in their light switches and in their things. And again, it's another one of these cycles. Now, maybe a new construction, but we all, guess what? All of the buildings we have, Al, they're already built. And most of them have lighting control systems that are overridden. if they've been built in the last 20, 25 years. And so I would say we're going to enter the fourth. Actually, I'm going to say not the third. The POE was the third. We're entering the fourth boom bust cycle of lighting controls, and we're going to hit the bust this year. And we're going to see the collapse of lighting
controls. So you're saying we're in the boom right now?
Right now, it's already over.
We're in the boom.
Oh, it's no. It's the boom bust cycle. Like everyone gets all crazy and everyone gets all excited, and then boom, it busts.
Like me?
Yeah, exactly. So I would say the opposite of Greg Gal. That's my prediction.
You know, Michael, I'm usually the guy that's glass half empty, so it's good to see pessimism come from someone else. But I would have to say that I'm actually looking at this glass half full. And here's where I think, and maybe it's not a cycle, I think there's going to be a boom, and it's going to be sustained and kind of the way that the world works 5-10 years from now. Because even projecting two generations from now, at the end of this century, are buildings going to be wired the same way they're wired now? No. Or at least probably not, right? So maybe POE does take off, but maybe it was ahead of its time in 2018. Incidentally, I own Inside Lighting, but I also own the domain name InsidePOE.com. Inside POE for the day when that gets big, you know who to go to for that. But going to the boom, and I think this is where it's going to be sustained, is LLLC, Luminaire Level Lighting Controls, and that is where you're not putting the intelligence of a system in some back room or some basement. You're having distributed intelligence in each fixture, where there's microprocessors and intelligence in each fixture, where they can mesh out or whatever the technology is that allows them to interconnect wirelessly or in a wired manner. But I think breaking the little pieces, like we're seeing in the smart home space, where each light bulb itself is smart and has intelligence inside of it. I do think that luminaire level lighting control is the way to go, and not having a smart device on the wall or some smart hub nestled on some J-box above the ceiling. I think luminaire level lighting control is the way that specifiers will be mainly specifying jobs 5-10 years from now. And I don't think there's going to be a bust associated with it. So Greg, when we do this in 2031, bring this up and we'll see how we did.
Yep. We'll take a note now.
Okay. So are you going to, I just want to respond to what Al said there.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Just for a quick second. I do think buildings will be wired the same way in 100 years.
Wow.
I do. I think that there's a principle. I don't know if you ever heard of Nassim Nicholas Taleb, that guy. He wrote The Black Swan and Anti-Fragile and all those books. And there's an argument that, for example, a light switch will outlast every lighting control, like the basic lighting light switch. Because it's older, it simply will last longer. It will outlast the new technology, and that's the principle of advancement. But really, I more than anything else, to me, I don't see customers asking for what you're talking about. And so when the problem, the lighting industry always cooks up all these things that customers should want. And what I find is that customers, we should probably start listening to our customers more and stop cooking up schemes for them. You know, health effects of lighting is another, there's another prediction. The health effects of lighting is going to be a bust. This whole circadian thing that I think there are niche applications for circadian level lighting. I do, but I'd like to see the lighting industry stop doing harm first with bad lighting, before we start talking about installing lighting that's going to improve people's health. And most companies have backed away from those claims. If you've noticed, Al, most of them are backing away from these, you know, the health effects and all that sort of stuff. And they're starting to talk about good lighting. So I think with the lighting controls piece, you know, for me, is that it's a cycle. And it's going to keep cycling until we actually get it right and we find something that customers want to buy, Al. And that's why it's a cycle. Boom, bust, because the customers don't actually want it.
That's, I don't know, opinion. If I agree, if we're gonna stay on the subject, because back to Al's point of the LLLC, like I want to dim this fixture right above me right now so you can read my other hat. But I can't do that because it dims that fixture, then it shuts my office off. If I had LLLC, I could dim that. So I think every light fixture should be treated like their own thing. They have their own application, their own area, so do it.
All right,
fine. Any other predictions? I had one. Mike had one. Al had one. Do we have any others to kind of close it out?
Let's go to Al.
So I have a total dart throw. Like this is not like some of my predictions. It's like, okay, I'm reading, economic indicators. These factors are how interest rates are going down or up. And this one is a total dart throw. and it has to do with a company by name. But it's the largest North American maker of lighting fixtures and controls, and that's Acuity Brands. To put some perspective on this, in 2010, Acuity Brands was a $1.6 billion company. They had extraordinary growth over the last 13, 14 years, where from 2015 to 2018, they went from $2.7 billion to $3.7
billion. Wow.
They did acquire Juno during that time, so it wasn't all organic growth. But now they're $4 billion company for 2 years in a row. And the thing about Acuity, and we also know Signify, which is the, so if Acuity is the North American leader, Signify is the global leader. But two distinct differences between those two is that Signify is diversified much differently than Acuity. Acuity is focused primarily on commercial industrial, whereas Signify has a big consumer and retail side of it. Acuity derives most of its sales, 90%+ in North America, whereas Signify derives, I think, about only 25 to 30% of its sales in the United States, and because they're globally diverse. So I think Acuity, for its strong presence and its strong growth that has just gained a ton of market share in North America, total dart throw, total guess. But I have heard in the investor calls, and I listen to each of them four times a year by Neil Ashe every quarter, the CEO is talking about Europe a lot more. And they have a presence with Hall of Fame. They acquired Hall of Fame in 1999, and Hall of Fame's had a strong presence in the UK for a long time. Distech was acquired in 2015, their controls, one of their controls brands, and they have a presence in France. So they already have some things there. But my sense is that Acuity is going to do something, possibly an acquisition, but do something in 2024, total wild hair idea, but they're going to do something to take a larger presence in Europe. And my guess is that it might be on the control side, not the fixture side, because fixtures and metrics and other regulations are tougher when you have, is that a 2 foot fixture or is it a 600 millimeter fixture? So I think it'll be on the control side to build upon that Distech presence that they already have in France. And that's my guess.
Wow. That's a bold prediction. But you know what? You know what? It's time for American companies to stride out onto the world stage again. American companies are often very focused on America. And Europeans come in and cannibalize their business. And Canadian companies come in and cannibalize American business. You know, we love the North American Free Trade Agreement. We love that. We hated the USMCA. The North American Free Trade Agreement was way better because we got to eat the American pie a little bit. You know, I think the American company should take a step on the world stage. You know, I mean, what's America's best brand right now? I'd say Tesla, not Apple. I would say Tesla is America's most powerful brand of quality, you know, and it's out there. It's everywhere in the world. Why not? Why not Acuity? Get out there. Acuity's a good brand. They have a nice, you know, it's a good name, first of all, for a lighting company. And second of all, they make great products. So why not take a stab at Europe? Take a chunk out of Germany's pie. Stop shipping Audis over here. Let's start shipping lamps over there. I think it's a great idea.
And I think it makes total sense too. It sounds like I don't know if they've capped out what they can get in the U.S. or in North America. Al, do you think? Can they still grow in North America?
Yeah, I think all indications lead that the North American market will always be fragmented, but they've increased their piece of the pie significantly. And I still think they have room to grow. We've seen, even in recent quarters, we've seen two of their major competitors that are declining in sales. And they declined in sales from 2022 to 2023. You know what they went from? They went from $4 billion to $3.95 billion. They took a small 1% step back, while the others are taking single-digit and double-digit percentage steps back.
Sure. No, I think it makes total sense. And to expand it out and get it out there, and to Mike's point, bring America overseas. Let's go.
Why not?
Yeah.
Wow. That was a wild ride, Al. I didn't bring my champagne, but I'd love to be drinking champagne right now.
For the people watching this on YouTube, we have our goofy glasses on. And yeah, we're even though we're recording this in the morning, why not? If we're doing a New Year's pod, cheers to the New Year's. Lighting people that listen to the Nailed Get a Grip on Lighting podcast and that are like fans of Michael and Greg, they're some of the greatest lighting people out there. I have the privilege of bringing lighting news to so many people in the lighting industry. And we are truly lucky, guys. So here's to our audience. Here's to all the lighting people we interact with on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And here's to a great 2024 for all the lighting people in North America and across the world. Thank you guys for having me on. Cheers.
Cheers. And of course, folks, just while I agree with everything Al says, the most important thing you need to do is keep it easy, Greg Eric. Go to KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneTech.com.
You want 6 to 10 pallets of different LED tubes, or do you just want two?
No.
Because you can do it with Keystone. You want two pallets or however many you're going to have, but two different SKUs, right? You have a type AB and a type B. Color selectable. You can choose it right there. You can sell the same lamp to the same customer, and they can change it in their office easily, and then a different one in that office. And down the line, same product, making it easy, Keystone.
You know what? That's what I love about Keystone. They're always thinking about the customer. Like, let's make it easy for the customer, make it easy for the distributor. You know, and I just love the direction the lighting industry is going right now. A lot of people say I'm overly critical, I'm negative, and all that sort of stuff. I just love what we're doing, the lighting people out there, the people that listen to this show. We love you guys. And if you have light bulbs in a warehouse, sucka, that's right. If you keep them in a warehouse, and then you sell them over a counter, you sell them on the phone, or you sell them on your website, Nailed is your critical shield. That's right. You got to join Nailed. NAILD.org. Get involved. Get down there. Get to our convention. We don't know when it is yet, but we're going to come up with it soon. We're trying to find a home. So go to NAILD.org. Thank you for listening. We love you guys.